We will be looking at Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, in this message and the next message. This is the story of the demoniac that was living among the tombstones. He was living in the cemetery. This text sits in the middle of several hopeless situations. Just prior to the events we just read, Jesus and his disciples were out on the sea during a tremendous storm. The disciples were certain that they were going to die, as we saw in chapter 4, verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" In their minds, they were in a hopeless situation. When they were engulfed in that storm, the disciples were certain that they would die. Those men, they were seasoned fishermen, but they were hopeless and helpless to solve their problem. But that storm out on the deep was no problem for Jesus Christ, the master of the sea. He calmed the storm and he calmed his men. Now, Jesus moves into a new set of seemingly impossible situations. He now encounters a demon-possessed man. This man was possessed by thousands of demons. Thousands. He cannot help himself, and the people around him, they're helpless as well. After this scene, we'll see Jesus will deal with a diseased woman and a dead girl, all hopeless situations. All four of these situations appear hopeless from a human perspective. Yet in each of these cases, Jesus proved that he was the master of them all. If that demon-possessed man were alive today, he would be sent off to live in a mental institution. The diseased woman would be sent to a terminal care ward. The dead girl would be sent to the cemetery. As we move through this chapter, we're going to discover that Jesus is not just the master of the deep. He's the master of the demoniac. He's the master of disease, and he's also the master of death. He will demonstrate his power over all situations, all problems, all difficulties, and all dangers. We're going to take a trip to the cemetery. We'll watch as Jesus demonstrates his power over the spiritual realm. We will watch him deliver a man from a hopeless case of spiritual possession and bondage. As we watch the Lord deliver this poor soul, we need to keep in mind that he can move in our lives with the same power. He can break the chains that bind us, and he can set us free. Let us look at three phases of this encounter that offer hope to those that are in bondage today. I want to take these verses and look at this demoniac, this one who walked amongst the tombstones, this one that would be the walking dead. Let us look at Mark 1, verses 1 through 5. I should say Mark 5, verses 1 through 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. What a picture. As this story opens, we're told that this man is held fast in the grip of Satan. Satan is the master of his life, and he is in a state of hopelessness and helplessness. We're told that he has an unclean spirit. Then we find out that he is not just the home of one foul spirit, but he's possessed by a legion of demons. We see in verse 9 of the text, then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Many demons. A legion in the Roman army could be from 2,000 to 6,000 men. In verse 13 of the text, we're told that when the demons left this man, that they had entered a herd of swine that numbered 2,000. Look at verse 13 of the text. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Wow. You talk about being in chains, being in bonds, being possessed. This man was totally under the control of the devil. But yet this man's case is no different from the condition of every lost soul in the world. The scripture tells us in John 8, verses 43 and 44, why do you not understand my speech, Jesus Christ speaking? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Those that cannot listen to the word, it goes on to say, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Those that are not of God, those that are not born again, the scripture says that their devil is their father. You who are not a child of God, do you realize that that is your condition? That Satan is your father? Your condition outside of Christ is explained in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once. Notice, every person, if you're a child of God, this was your condition. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, notice, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You were by nature a child of wrath. If you are a child of God, you have been delivered. You have been changed. You were once darkness, but now are you light. You were by nature children of wrath. Those that are not saved are by nature children of wrath. No matter what their station in life, they're no different than that demoniac that was in the tombstone. Same exact condition. Satan is their father, the devil is their father, and they are by nature children of wrath. Every lost soul in the world. What a pitiful shape to be in. That man was in defilement. You who are outside of Christ, you are in defilement. You that are in Christ, that was your condition. You were in that condition. You were in a state of defilement. We see the man's depravity in our text. Looking back, go back to Mark 5. Look at the man's depravity in verses 3 and 4. Everyone outside of Christ, who had his dwelling, verses 3 and 4, chapter 5 of Mark, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, see, the walking dead, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. What a condition of man. The condition of man is very different than the condition that the humanist paints of man. Man's depravity, two words factor heavily in this man's world. And those two words are cemeteries and chains. This man had his dwelling among the dead. The demons in him drove him away from the living, and he spent his life in the cemetery. In those days, people were not usually buried in the ground. Tombs were carved into the hillsides, and the bodies were placed there. Because of his demons, this man lived with bones and the decaying corpses of the dead. What a picture. We are also told that the people around him had tried their best to restrain him. They would watch him and bind him with fetters and chains. Fetters would have been attached to his feet. Chains would have bound his hands, his arms, and his torso. These man-made devices could not hold him. He broke them as though they were made of paper. When we look at this poor soul, it is not hard to make the leap from him to the lost ones around us. The ones around us, the lost ones around us, you who are living outside Christ, are the unbelievers trapped in the same state of pitiful depravity. The sin that possesses the heart of the lost sinner drives him to spend his days and waste his years with the dead. The lost sinner has no desire to be around the living. Death and the works of deadness are all they care about. Of course, man has his methods of trying to conquer and cure all the problems that plague humanity. We constantly look at the political situation, the unrest in the nations, the unrest in our own nation, the unrest in families. Man has his jails, man has his prisons, man has his institutions, and man has his asylums. Man pushes his pills, he pushes his potions, he pushes his psychology as the answer to man's dilemma. The problem with man's efforts to cure humanity's problems is that man's efforts only treat the symptoms, not the cause of man's situation. Not the cause of man's situation. Humanity tries to deal with the symptoms, but they never can get to the root of the problem because they live in darkness. The scripture says that you are darkness outside of Christ. Man acts like he acts and does what he does because he's a sinner and he's lost. Lost people choose darkness over light. Matter of fact, the scripture says that they hate the light. You have too fond of a view, too good of a view of humanity. The scripture says in John 3, verses 19 through 21, listen, you outside of Christ, you are no different than that demoniac. He had a legion of anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 demons, and you have your own demons. John 3, 19 through 21 tells us this, and this is the condemnation, and that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. You understand? This is the humanity. They love darkness. No matter how sweet a person is, no matter how nice, no matter how seemingly good a person is, the scripture says outside of Christ that men love darkness. Not that they like it, they love it. They love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Only deeds done in God. You must be in Christ. Only deeds in God. The light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Lost people choose sin over the Savior because they love their sin. Do not be deceived, you who are a humanist. Do not be deceived. Romans 3 verses 10 through 12 tell us as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. You who are outside of Christ, you are no different than that demoniac that walked among the tombstones in the cemetery. You're no different than that walking dead man that was possessed by demons. There's none righteous, not one, none understands, none seek after God. Everyone is turned aside, everyone has become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. God has said over and over, whenever you see repetition in the scripture, it is used to emphasize the point. In the book of Romans, Paul cannot emphasize the point any more than he could. None righteous, not one. None who understands, no, not one. None who seeks after God, no, not one. All have turned aside. All have become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. That means no, not one, from your mama to your daddy, to the pope, to the priest, to the preacher, to the little girl, to the big girl, to the little boy, to the big boy. No, not one. Let me add that a professing believer needs to examine his or her own heart when they begin to desire the works of darkness. Notice I said a professing believer. A professing believer does not necessarily mean a possessing believer. Many sit in churches today that have never been regenerated. They're religious people, like the Sadducees were religious. The Pharisees were religious. Religion does not save you. Going to church does not save you. Only Jesus Christ saves you. That demoniac, he needed one thing and one thing only. He needed Jesus Christ. And the question is today, do you have Jesus Christ? Yes or no? If you are a professing believer and you desire the works of darkness, you better check yourself out. You need to look at your spiritual condition. When you find reasons for avoiding the light, do you avoid the light? Do you avoid believers? Do you avoid church? Do you avoid the Bible? Do you avoid prayer? When you can't sit through a preaching service, you have a spiritual problem. When you find reason to avoid the house of God, you have a spiritual problem. The question is, are you on your way to be backslidden? Or have you never been a Christian at all? Are you beginning to revert back to the old ways of the old man? Then I would warn you, that is a dangerous and a frightening place to find yourself. In verse 5 of our text, look at this man's desperation. Look at his desperation. First, if you be an unbeliever, look at his desperation. If you be a believer, look at what Jesus Christ has delivered you from. Not only has he delivered you from the penalty of sin, but brother and sister, if you are a child of God, he has delivered you from the power of sin. Look at this man's condition. Mark 5, verse 5. And always. Notice, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine the terror this man caused. He's up there in that cemetery. He's naked. He's running around like a madman day and night. He cuts himself and his body's covered with blood and scars. He screams and he yells in his torment. Oh, child of God, do you not remember when you was in that condition? When you were in that condition in your sin, your trespasses, your iniquities? You who were a whore or a whoremonger or a drug addict or an alcoholic or a thief or a liar or a fornicator or a child molester, homosexual, lesbian, whatever your condition was. Oh, child of God, what Jesus Christ has delivered you from? Why do you not have no gratitude? We do not know why the man shrieked and screamed and cried in those tombs. And maybe he did these things because he was desperate to be free. And maybe that he did them because he was compelled to do them. Whatever the matter is, he was in a desperate situation and he needed help. Do you not know, you outside of Christ, your desperate need of help? You who are a child of God, do you not realize the great torment and pain and heartache and death that you were in that Christ has delivered you from? Whether you're lost and bound in sin or whether you are saved and out of God's will, there's only one cure for your condition. You do not need a pill. You do not need a psychiatrist. You do not need a priest. You do not need a program. You need Jesus Christ. He is the antidote for the poison of sin, for the death of sin. He's the cure for your condition. He is the solution to your problem. Get to Jesus Christ and get the help you need. Stop fooling yourself. Stop deceiving yourself. It ain't a pill. It ain't a psychiatrist. It ain't a priest. It ain't a program that you need. You need Christ. It's only Christ that has the power to deal with this kind of wickedness, to deal with the death of mankind, to deal with darkness. I've just explained to you man's condition. I'm not a humanist, I'm a realist. This is really the condition of mankind, in Christ and outside of Christ. God is telling you the truth in the Scripture. I'm only telling you on the authority of the Scripture, the condition of mankind. I would love to think that all of humanity is cute and cuddly and the possibilities exist for perfection, but it doesn't. That's not man's condition. God has said just the opposite. I've explained to you man's condition. It is horrible. It is horrible. But that is the condition of mankind outside of Christ. There's many that will hear this message. There's many in this city, in this county, in this country who are defiled, depraved, and desperate. And they need help. And there is but one source for the help that they need. And that help is Jesus Christ. The question is today, do you see yourself as no different than a demoniac? It's just a question of, he had a legion of demons, you may have one or two demons. But you have a demon nevertheless that you participate with, be it in power, greed, lust, drugs, whatever, you fill in. You fill in the chains and the ones, the things that have you bound in this life. And it could very well be your religion that has you bound. And that's the worst kind of defilement. Because you don't even know that you're enslaved. You're thinking God loves you, that you please in Him with your works righteousness and your religion. And you don't even see that you're as bad as that demoniac. Your condition is as bad as that demoniac. Or maybe you're in chains to many of the sins that I mentioned. Christ is the answer. And you, child of God, should you not be full of gratitude and worship and praise for Jesus Christ, that he has taken you out of the dreadful condition that you were in. He brought you out of the cemetery that you were in, the tomb that you were in, the tombs that you walked around in. And he has raised you up and saved you and made you a joint heir with himself and reconciled him to God the Father. What kind of life should we live now in gratitude? You who would listen to this message, search the scripture and see if these things are true. I explain to you the condition of man in Christ and outside of Christ. And if you be outside of Christ, I would plead with you today to come to Christ, and he will deliver you from among the walking dead.